Community Connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by First Baptist Church and Washington County Wellness Initiative and also Suicide Prevention Coalition. Overlapping topics this morning as we open up a Community Connection in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
And we get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time this morning with Melissa Jenkins from, the leadership team member for the Washington County Wellness Initiative, but we're also going to incorporate a little bit of the Suicide Prevention Coalition because it all falls under that initiative umbrella, right?
That's absolutely right, Charlie. The Wellness Initiative was formed in 2004, and we started with a group of about 45 community citizens who came together to talk about issues, gaps, needs in the community. We did some community health assessments, and based on those, we developed four core areas of focus.
And those are?
Mental health is one of them. Health is another one. Preventative, adult and children preventative care, and that has to do with things like obesity, immunizations, things like that. And then we also focused on poverty.
Okay.
And we got together groups of individuals who were passionate about specific things, and we broke up into what we call work groups and began to develop strategies to address the gaps that we found.
Well, certainly poverty itself is not a health issue, but it runs around with all of them. So it certainly is right in there as a causal factor, or, whatever you want to call it.
Actually, yes, that's a great comment about that, because there's what we call social determinants of health, where poverty really fits into that, and where you live matters, the type of education you have, the type of jobs you can get, all impact your overall health and well-being.
And that means that if you don't have the funds to, buy all the food you should be buying for proper nutrition, then your health suffers and everything else. So it kind of all fits in together. Did you tell me before when we went on the air that you're running what's called a poverty simulation fairly soon?
Yes, we're very excited about the poverty simulation. It'll actually occur on Tuesday, December the 5th. It's in partnership with OSU Extension, and the simulation will be held at the Washington County Fairgrounds. We do encourage individuals to go online and register. People can register through our website, or they can contact me, and I can give you that information whenever you're ready for it. However, we're hoping to get about 80 participants to be involved in that poverty simulation. And it really does take you through what it's like to live as a low-income individual who's trying to make ends meet and survive. And it's eye-opening and it's life-changing.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best thing that I could say about it is most people, while they certainly know poverty exists, and they may even have a friend or acquaintance that fits that category, you can't say you've experienced until you, at least even in this limited situation, have the opportunity.
Yes, and they do a really good job, the individuals who put this on. We are very excited about OSU Extension's work in the poverty simulation area, and it is a very stressful time during the simulation. But it's well worth it.
I'm trying to remember. We talked. When was the last time the county ran one? And the time is a little indeterminate. Neither one of us could come up with an exact time frame. But sometime 10 to about 15 years ago, you ran one at the community center.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And it was very well received, well attended. And then we were able to afterwards be able to process and talk about it.
And I think that's probably one of the beneficial things from, how did you feel when something happened to did you realize? And I'm sure you got a lot of good comments from the participants.
We did. And Thinking about the things that influence poverty, we know it's very complex. However, there are certain elements and community infrastructure that can make a big difference. And so one of the things that really does influence poverty, honestly, is transportation. Being able to have reliable transportation to get to work, mm-hmm. to get to health care, those types of things. And so when we developed the wellness initiative and we divided into those four major areas, we ask each individual member of those work groups to prioritize the community health areas they wanted to work on. Every single one of them selected transportation. And so, therefore, the Washington County Transportation Coalition was formed as a result of that.
And certainly that has, I think, given a lot of people, I'll say, rides to work, rides to the doctor's office, or even at the grocery store, just that they would have had to walk or pull a cart or something before.
Yes, it's been very successful in our opinion. It's a limited route, mm-hmm. However, you know, we're in our fifth year of that route. We started it in 2012, and we are really hoping soon that we will be able to have it to become a really sustainable part of our city, mm-hmm. and our county. We give over 1,000 rides a month, and right now, I want to give lots of accolades to Disciples Christian Church and St. Luke's Episcopal Church, because those two churches came together and are keeping the transportation, we call it the circuit bus, mm-hmm. actually keeping it going through their outreach ministries.
That's great. And I'm sure there are things that you would like to be able to do if more funding existed to help that problem.
Absolutely. Most of the public transit is a part of a city infrastructure system, and with sustained funding from both local, state, and federal dollars coming into it, and several routes that make it very viable and coming into people's neighborhoods so that they can quickly get on and get to where they need to go and then get home.
I'm trying to remember the route, please, or I will say the schedule. It runs fairly early in the morning, getting people to work, and then kind of takes a break in the mid part of the day and then runs in the afternoon. Am I right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, 7 to 11 and then 2 to 6.
Okay. So, yeah. And the route, again, for as I sit here and remember it, for a large part, kind of down Frank Phillips, and then makes a round around Adams or over to Walmart, and where else does it go?
Yeah, we start at Mary Martha Outreach, okay. Go up to Oak Park,
okay.
And then we come down Frank Phillips, and you're exactly right. We go through, get over to Adams, and go to the health department and DHS area. Then we cut through then to Walmart, to the library, back around to 14th Street, down Virginia, and we start the route over. So we hit the major mm-hmm. Apartment complexes that are at least HUD subsidized. Now the route system is open to anyone and everyone, and it is a good economic development tool.
Mm-hmm. I think more and more people need to find out more about it just so they can take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Yep. It's a great resource.
We're talking about the Wellness Initiative. It's kind of an umbrella of so many different concerns and subgroups, but I know you get together and share concerns frequently.
Absolutely. So currently we have 10 what we call work groups that have developed as a result of a community need. For example, access to healthcare is a group that typically is made up of healthcare professionals, those that are concerned and interested in individuals accessing healthcare, and especially preventative care, mm-hmm. because we know it saves lots of dollars in the long run. And they've actually joined together right now with our Positive Influence Committee, formerly the Washington County Anti-Drug Network,
okay.
because of the huge opioid epidemic, which is impacting health and substance use.
And I think entities both from the local, county, state, and tribal, federal, all seem to be picking up their share of that, although I know there's more work that can be done.
Yes, absolutely. We actually just met yesterday. We are a part of a grant through the Cherokee Nation and one of 11 counties of the Cherokee Nation, and they're working on a very, very big media campaign that we'll see very soon through radio and television television broadcasts and billboards, and you'll see a lot more coming out about the work we're doing to prevent overdose deaths.
The local drug take-back day a couple of weeks or so ago at the Walgreens store, I know Bartlesville was number two in the state as far as getting, you know, the, what was it, 200-some pounds of prescription drugs and probably other things, too, that they were able to get back out of the water.
It was so exciting, Charlie. I happened to get to be a part of that and was able to pass out information about our initiative, but cars just flowed. And to see that kind of response was very encouraging, because one of the issues that we're trying to promote is not only safe use of medications, but safe disposal.
Yeah.
And that helps not only the environment, but it keeps dangerous medications out of medicine cabinets that don't need to be there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when we said flush it, which was getting it out of the medicine cabinet. That's one positive step. But then many of those items have kind of a long half-life once they're in the water system. So that's not
yes.
the best thing.
And to kind of connect this with the Suicide Prevention Coalition, which was formed as a result of, at the time, we had just done some community assessments, and we discovered that suicide was the leading cause of death for young adults, 25 to 34. Well, we also know that individuals who have what we call an opioid use disorder, and again, we're talking about painkillers, mm-hmm. like Oxycontin and hydrocodone, Percocet, things like that. Those individuals who are taking
it on down into Darvon and everything else.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're right. Well, they have an incredibly high risk of suicide as well. So there's a very strong link between that. And one of the things we're trying to do is help our community understand that you know, substance use disorder is a brain disease like heart disease and diabetes, and it does have a lot of stigma, as does mental health. And so we are trying to reframe our language to say, you know, an individual had a substance use disorder, or an individual died by suicide rather than committed suicide. We're just trying to help reframe some of the language we use that perpetuates that stigma, mm-hmm. and then creates an atmosphere where people are too embarrassed to go to treatment. So we really want to get the word out that this is a disease and it's treatable, and we want to support individuals to get the treatment they need.
Yeah, sometimes you wish you could just put a Band-Aid on somebody's forehead. They would notice it differently. But anyway.
Yes, that's a good point. Absolutely.
We're going to continue talking with Melissa Jenkins in just a moment on AM 1400 K1.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process, and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Spending some time this morning on a community connection with Melissa Jenkins from the Washington County Wellness Initiative, and again talking about some of the different items of concern under the umbrella of the initiative. We were talking about mental health, and you said there's some new information items that will be available to the public fairly soon.
Very soon. We have been we currently have what's called the Free and Low Cost Healthcare Guide, and then the Washington County Mental Health Guide on our website, mm-hmm. and we've been working on updating it, because the last time we did it was about 2014-2015, and a lot's changed since then. And so when we will print some hard copies of it, but it will be on our online, available for people to go to. It'll be a very quick and easy way to look up information for Washington County for resources, and it's called Nurturing Healthy Communities, which is our tagline, and it's a holistic approach to mind, body, and soul, and we're very proud of it, and we're looking forward to launching it. We will be revealing it at our annual meeting, which will also be right after the poverty simulation on Tuesday, December the 5th.
Okay. Well, be looking forward to hearing more about that and seeing the publication once it hits the street.
That'll yeah, and absolutely. So when we were talking about overall health and well-being and some of the other work groups that we have that are a part of the Wellness Initiative, one is Family Promise, and that's an organization, a nonprofit that specifically focuses on helping homeless children and their families to be able to get their feet, you know, on the ground and be, and get stable so that they can then work towards getting into permanent housing and work on financial stability as well. It's a wonderful program that partners with the faith community, and through their partnership with the faith community, it provides volunteers, mentor support, and housing through the use of host congregations, and it's a very effective program, and we are really proud to be a partner with them. In addition to
sounds like it would also be a great leader, a lead right into the Bridges Out of Poverty program as well.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And you know, that was an initiative that was developed out of the Wellness Initiative many years ago and has been, you know, taken on. The Gina Elias is the executive director of that program, and it certainly provides wonderful support and training and education for individuals that are wanting to get out of poverty into a better life and stable.
I think the two would, you know, hold each other's hand very well.
Absolutely,
so to speak,
you know. And another that leads into it, because when we talk about place matters, infrastructure matters, so transportation was a big issue. We have to be able to get to work and back and get to keep ourselves healthy so that we are able to work. And so there's the Washington County Affordable Housing Coalition. And we've had a lot of partnerships with different community entities. And our goal is to, you know, put partners together to help increase access to affordable housing. It's very difficult when you make minimum wage to be able to pay an average fair market rent of even $550 plus utilities when you bring home maybe $900 to $1,000 a month. But you're working full-time and you're working hard. It's those are some of the support mechanisms that can help from a community level perspective.
And I think that's a frustration that we've heard for a long time, but it's certainly real today. That as you are starting to make your way out of the hole, so to speak, there's just the other forces that are out there that are, you know, pulling your feet back down because you're not doing enough yet to get it made all the way out of the hole.
So. Yeah, that's so well said. And that I think, especially in Bridges too, you look at those kinds of things, those issues about you may have some support through some daycare assistance or some health care, and maybe even you get some assistance for food.
Yeah.
But once you get to a certain level, you lose that support, but you don't make enough to cover the cost of what that support provided. It's a tough dilemma, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. But we, you know, people are fortunately making it out every day. I wish more did, but
every day, that's exactly right. And through the wonderful, generous support of this community, I will just say that there's so much volunteerism here. There's a lot of generous donations that are given to support organizations. And so we also then have the Washington County Association for Mental Health. And part of, you know, that organization is a 501c3 that works to help promote mental health and to help increase access to resources, ensure that we have a competent, trained mental health workforce as well too. Sometimes that's difficult, finding enough employees that are trained as therapists and counselors to serve in our area as well.
Yeah, and then somewhere along the line, just to say, it's nice to know somebody's still out there trying to teach the QPR program, because when you get someone, maybe poverty, maybe it's family situation, maybe it's something totally unrelated, but those thoughts of suicide do creep in.
I'm so glad you drew that in, Charlie, because financial issues is one of the risk factors for suicide. And anytime we're faced with a lot of stress and things just build up and build up and build up, one more thing can be that thing that causes us to have thoughts of suicide. And part of the goal of QPR is to help individuals around us recognize that we're having trouble and to learn to know the warning signs and how to talk to someone about it. And then to make sure that you can refer them to get the help they need. If we can get them through that crisis, and sometimes that crisis may be a 3-week period or so, but getting them through that crisis, then we can, they may never have those thoughts again. Hope is so important in the area of suicide and suicide prevention. If we have hope, it really helps us to be able to get through.
So we've talked about so many different ways that people can get plugged in. They say, I'd like to help, but then there's this option. And I know the initiative is there to say, well, yeah, what would you like to do and how can we help? So.
Yes, we have online an actual interest inventory you can take.
Okay.
And we list all the different projects. For example, Casa Espana is another one, a car repair project that we partner with Church Women United, Project Prom. It really provides an opportunity, almost if whatever your passion is, through the Washington County Wellness Initiative, we could plug you into something that is going to help meet that passion.
You mentioned that it's an online survey. What's the website for that?
So the website is www.wcwiok.org. So Washington County Wellness Initiative.
Okay.
OK.org.
Sounds great. So that's one place people can go. Is there a common phone number for a clearinghouse and some of these things that people can pick up a phone and get there?
Yes. And it actually rings to me.
Okay.
So you will get me. If you don't get me right then, I'll get right back with you. But it's 918-876-3056.
Okay. So a couple of fairly easy ways, if you have access to a computer or go to the library or wherever you can find a computer to get to the website, or pick up a phone and call Melissa.
Yes, and that does remind me, since you mentioned the library, we do have a partnership with the literacy program at the library, and we're doing a health literacy series. We do a morning workshop and an evening workshop, and we'll be doing those every month for the next about 7 months or so. And the one that will be coming up, it will be the third Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
And we will actually be doing a QPR training, so we really invite you to come and be a part of that training and learn how to recognize those warning signs that someone may be in trouble.
Sounds like a great reason to get plugged in. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
That's a Community Connection on AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1. Again, if you'd like to find out more, check out the website or give Melissa a call. And it's a Community Connection brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center and by First Baptist Church on 1400 K1.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all.